I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Exclusively Eye Care, Major Team Mortgage, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avior Wealth Management, and Omaha Laser Dentistry. We appreciate their support. Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care. Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Man, I'm excited for this guy. I have so many fun memories in the gloom getting to work out with this guy. And I hope we get to talk about his diet. He has a really strict diet, mostly of Mountain Dew and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And anyway, I'm excited just to hear his story. Phenomenal leader. You know, one thing I remember just having conversations at coffee and just can really tell this guy cares, and that means a lot. I know it's been special to me. I know it's impacted a lot of other guys, and a phenomenal leader at one of our amazing Friday sites. So at Fancy Feast, recent SiteQ, our man Crowdsource. Good to see you, brother. You look really good. So I don't know that, you know, some things never change, but I do want to get your story, EH story, kind of that first workout, and then how'd you get the name Crowdsource? I don't think I know that story.
Well, first of all, I would look way better had I nourished my mustache like you did. I didn't know that was a thing until about 90 seconds ago.
Yeah. Caffeine and B vitamins, baby. Apparently, it's where it's at.
I take both of those, but I've never put it on my facial hair, but starting tomorrow. Well, Plague, thanks for the invite. This is really cool that you do this with so many leaders across our region. Your time commitment to it, your thoughtfulness, I just think is really well done. So I'm honored to be here. This is really sweet. So I'm actually going to take you back to about, it'd be 6 days before my first workout. It was the Thursday of March Madness, 2023. Okay. And our work did a mixer with a couple other companies. And so we were at the Hideaway Lounge, which is the bar right next to Starbucks, that like Labyrinth and Maze use after Thursdays. So we're there for the afternoon watching basketball, and I get seated next to these two clowns, Muffs and Limu.
Oh no.
Who they had like government names at the time. And whatever. I'm talking to Tim and we're having a great conversation. And all of a sudden, like, I was not creeping on his phone, but he's got his phone out in front of me and he's sending a text to CJ Novak. CJ Novak's Robin Hood. Robin Hood and I are two of 326 people that lived in Brainerd, Nebraska. So I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And so long story long, we had a mutual Muffs and I had a mutual friend in, or contact in Robin Hood. And he kept calling him Robin Hood. And I was like, I've known CJ for 42 years. What the hell's this Robin Hood stuff all about? And he said, you know, hey, we do this workout thing in the morning. It's this, that, and the other. And I'm like, dude, you got to tell me more. I just started kind of back into my fitness journey at the turn of the year, training for a race in May. I hadn't done shit for about 20 years. So, I was getting bored. So I was like, he was reluctant, I think, to bore me with the details. But I was just hanging on to every word of give me the details, you know? And so anyway, that was kind of my introduction to F3. I didn't even know it existed.
I can only imagine the conversation with Muffs once he's had a few beers in the afternoon. I mean, in the gloom, right? He's a funny guy, but I can only imagine how that went.
Well, along the beer story, if you go back to the calendar, that Thursday was March 16th.
Oh.
And Friday was the St. Patrick's Day beatdown. So he's like, yeah, tomorrow morning, we're just going to go there and, I don't know, lay around and drink beer at 5 in the morning. I'm like, what the hell kind of workout group is this?
Oh, that's awesome.
So anyway.
Was that your first post? Did you go, were you, like, how long did it take you from that conversation to when you posted?
Well, I went through the weekend and that's when I found out that Pegleg and I, we have kids that have done youth baseball together. So I've got kind of a long history with Pegleg and caught wind that this was something that F3 was something that he was engaged in. And so I had a real vulnerable call with Peg. I said, hey man, give me the details, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it was a no brainer. And so he said, hey, let's do this. I don't remember what day I called him. If it was that Thursday night or Friday, he said, Wednesday, we have a spot called the Dune. It's at Aspen Creek Middle School. If you want a pre-run, we'll build in an extra 5, you know, minutes. I was slow as hell. I was out of shape. And so I showed up. So my first post was at the Dune that following Wednesday. So 6 days after I learned about F3 from Muffs and Limu and Robin Hood, Pegleg, you know,
you gotcha.
Put the headlock on, and Wednesday, whatever the hell time it was, 4:55, we showed up in that parking lot. I knew what Pegleg looked like. What I wasn't anticipating was how dead sexy a unicycle was.
Oh, yeah.
He got out of that Dodge truck, the flatbed, and he was wearing his vest. And I was like, holy shit, this isn't going to work out well.
He's a beast, yeah.
So, yeah, that was my first me, Peg, and Uni went for a little 5K pre-run. And then that first beatdown, Painkiller was on cue.
Okay.
So, heck of a beatdown. Grinder, two-man, meet in the middle. We get done, and Peg kind of shared, hey, at the end, you know, we do this little thing, get to know you, you'll get a name, yada, yada. And so Painkiller's asking the normal questions of, you know, who brought you out? Well, I told them all of them because they were all there. Robin Hood drove from Brainerd for that first post. Muffs was there. Lima was there. Pegleg was obviously there. So when he asked that question and I dropped 4 names, it was Unicycle that recommended. He said, this guy's crowdsourced. And so.
Crowdsourced. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Been my badge ever since.
That's so cool. You know, it's wild. Like, I wonder how many guys, now that F3 in Omaha has gotten so big, like, how many guys have sort of, they, like, heard about it, and then they, you know, they hear about it from a couple guys, and then, like, they actually get convinced or formally EH'd by, like, one close friend, or I don't know. That's, yeah. What,
an interesting case study. And I, like I said, this wasn't a, I knew about it, was reluctant. I knew about it, didn't want to do it. I knew about it, wasn't interested. I flat out did not know F3 was a thing until that Thursday of March Madness. And yep.
You mentioned you were maybe interested right away. What do you think drew you to it? You kind of said you were training, but anything else that you were maybe going through? I guess, was this, when was this, like pandemic or post-pandemic? Or, because I know that kind of a lot of guys like coming out of the pandemic were itching to just get around other people. But
absolutely. So this would have been March of 23.
Okay.
My anniversary date's the 22nd of March. So yes, it was, you know, I'm definitely one of the guilty parties of being a COVID casualty, you know, in terms of going to the office every day to, guys, we're going to hit pause, grab the stuff you need. I think this is going to be a week turned to 10 days, 10 days turned into 10 weeks. 10 weeks into 10 months kind of thing. So there was, I think, that yearning for connection, you know, kind of to kickstart the day. But really the, you know, Christmas of 22, I made kind of a bold statement. My wife has always run the Lincoln Half Marathon. We met in 02. And shit, she's run it like 20 times and I just never missed a race. Give me a second. I just always remember, like, how like proud I was of her, because she trained every morning. She put so much into it. And I was sitting there doing absolutely nothing with my life, you know, fitness wise. And I was just always so, I guess, touched by what that race and that moment meant. And I was at rock bottom. And so at Christmas, you know, it was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm signing up. I need a North Star. I need something. And I shit you not. Like, I mean, I got laughed out of the kitchen. Like, there's no way in hell. There's no way in hell you're going to be at the start line. And you sure as hell won't be at the finish line. And I don't ever like being wrong. And it was my idea, which was probably most important. This wasn't somebody else telling me, hey man, you need to run this race. It was my proclamation. And so I guess I had to defend it. So I was sitting there freaking Googling like lazy ass to half marathon plans and all this other stuff. Yeah, I kind of found one that I liked. And so I had started doing that, but all of that was being done on my own. And, you know, January, February, not a big deal, but once the calendar turns to March, April, around our house, the boys' commitments, you know, after work with baseball, with activities, with just stuff, right? Got busy and I kind of panicked going, that's when I had been running and training, you know, in the evenings. I went, this is not going to work March, April, May for the race. And so, you know, back to your question of what were you intrigued by? Honest to goodness, it was kind of that 5 a.m., 5:30 start time of, we've had baseball games at a lot of goofy times and we've never had one at 5, 6, or 7 a.m. And so I just really liked for that, you know, synced up in the routine. I was terrified of it, obviously, you know, wasn't used to setting a 4:05 alarm clock, but you adjust really quick. So that was a huge selling point. And so
I appreciate you sharing that. And you know, it's interesting you use the term rock bottom, right? And I think most of the time we hear that, we think like drugs or alcohol, but I think you're using it in terms of like sort of a rock bottom with your physical fitness. Is that, or what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. I think there's disciplines that come into play with, I mean, number one, to set a four, you know, I set my alarm every morning for 4:05. It's probably overkill, but it gives me time if I need to hit that snooze button once or twice. Sometimes you jump right out of bed, have plenty of time, whatever it is. But it created that discipline of being ready for bed at 10 o'clock at night. Not with that being a commitment, no longer do you want to watch the next episode on Netflix or have another beer in the garage or, you know, just whatever the heck it is. It's like it creates this framework that's important. And but to answer your question, like, what was my rock bottom? It was probably kind of that sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was, you know, I've always been probably lucky in stature and have people assume like, man, you don't have to worry about this. You're in great shape. You know, you can eat whatever you want. Yeah. I was like, if you guys only knew, like, what maybe was showing on the outside certainly wasn't firing on the inside. And I was very active, you know, growing up, you know, through sport, was always in great shape through college even. And then, I don't know, there's that next level confidence when you don't need the world to know what, you know, you're doing for yourself. Like, that's always been important to me. I get annoyed when people take pictures of their food and tell you where they're eating and, you know, post their workout and let you know what their heart rate was and all this other crap. I'm just like, you know, you do you. But on the same turn of the wheel, when you're not doing those things, I just felt like I was, to some extent, like living a lie, because of comments like that of, you know, you don't have to worry about this, you know, you don't have to worry, you know, eat whatever you want, yada, yada. I'm like, that really isn't who I am. Like, I'd be blessed genetically, but, I'm not doing the things to deserve that type of commentary. And so I wanted that back into my, I don't know, on my resume or as part of my framework again. And it's been unbelievable.
You know, we talk a lot about male community leadership, invigorating male community leadership. And I'm more and more convinced that what that looks like is just giving guys a sense of confidence again, you know, and I think whether it be fitness, the fellowship or faith piece, like, I think we just, you get to these moments in life where, like you said, you feel it's imposter syndrome or whatever you want to call it, right? Where you feel like you're just not confident in your own abilities. Almost like you just need to prove to yourself who you are again. And I love that. I'm curious if, you know, as you're thinking about this, then, so you set this goal, kind of started out on your own, then you found F3 and some guys to kind of help you along the journey. You started your first workout with a pre-run, which is pretty impressive, but play the tape all the way through. Did you end up running that half and did you make it to the finish line? What was that moment like?
I did. Yeah, I absolutely did. It was the first time I'd ever raced a run. I still think that running and like the whole bibs and the numbers, that stuff's kind of ridiculous. But yeah. Nope, I was at the start line. I made it to the finish line. I really didn't have any goals. Like, I'll never forget, like, when I registered, there was this anticipated finish time because, you know, they put you in these different corrals and yada, yada. And I remember looking for, like, the answer that was, just finished like 24 hours. Hell, I had no idea.
What's the max? Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I like started in like Corral Z or something like that. It was great. But no, I finished, I forget. But like I said, I didn't have any goals. Like, my goal was to complete it. Mm-hmm. Whether that was going to be 2.5 hours or, you know, 2 hours, none of that mattered. I think that first one was like 150, 153, something like that. But hell yeah, I ran it and I smiled the whole way. And for that race, Michelle didn't run. So it was kind of this full circle moment of, she had to stand next to the donut shop and wait for my slow ass to run by and hold the sign and wave. And
so she didn't get a run, and she was talking all that trash at the beginning. Huh?
He did not talk any trash.
Oh, okay.
No, she didn't talk any. This was 100% my fault. And even when she was just crushing her training, and never once did she jam that down my throat of, A, this is, look at what I'm doing, or B, this is what you should be doing. Never once. And I think that's why it worked for me, but I needed to see it. And I knew just kind of how cool it would be to have, you know, pun intended, the shoe on the other foot. Actually, I take that back. That first race, she and I did, we ran together.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I'm sorry. We both ran it. We started together. We didn't run the whole thing together.
Yeah. Is she faster than you?
What's that?
Is she faster than you, or maybe you don't want to comment?
She did really good.
Oh, I love it. Well, you know, talk me through, because when I look at you now, I guess I wonder if, are those comments that maybe people were making before, are they more true now? Like, I think of you as somebody that's in great shape. You can run, you know, you can run fast, you can run far. Somehow you're able to still eat, Flamin' Hot Cheetos and I don't know if you do diet or regular Mountain Dew, but it's Mountain Dew nonetheless. Sure. I don't know. Talk us through that.
Don't insult me with that diet stuff. It's full diesel. It's full diesel, always plenty.
I love it. Talk us through, though, where are you at today? Do you feel like you've made progress? And do you have goals you're working towards now?
I guess you said something earlier, the fitness thing is, it's kind of my journey. Again, it's really important to me that I never jam that down anybody's throat. Like, it's not ever going to define. It's never going to define me. It's never, I don't know, get together with the boys from back home, and I don't ever want it to feel like, you know, hey, it's Mr. Exercise King. Like, no, I don't like that at all. But yeah, goal wise, I had a pretty aggressive goal when I ran the race the second time, 24. Set a goal, and that was fun to chase. This last year's race was hands down my favorite race I've ever done. Kickstand. So after running the first one, I didn't even freaking know what I just told you when they asked, how long is this going to take? I'm like, shit, I don't know. Maybe till Monday. I don't know. Yeah. So then you do it, you get a feel for it, and then you kind of dial it in. And Kickstand had researched and come up with this 10-week training program that I followed to a T leading up to the 24 race. And I was just blown away by the progress and the results of that. And so I followed that pretty strict. And then had a good run in 24. This year I had it circled on the calendar of, hey, if you're going to do that 10-week program again for 25, this is when it starts. And we're having coffee with our shield lock. And I kind of thrown it out there of, guys, I'm going to start training again. And I didn't expect any hands to go up or there to be any support. And Griswold reluctantly raised his hand. He's like, shit, I'll train with you. I'm like, you will? And so it was fun. He and I, he signed up for the race in the whole nine yards. And so it was really fun working kind of together towards that goal. So he ran his first race just a couple weeks ago, crushed it, trained his tail off. I don't know. It was just, I say this with every, sincerely with every cell of my body, it was more rewarding to witness his happiness in the growth of, you know, he's always been in great shape. He's an absolute stud. So it's not like it wasn't that, but just seeing that light bulb continuously go off of, man, you realize what our pace was. Hey, I can't believe my, you know, this metric or that metric has improved this much or that much. You know, some of that nerdy talk, which isn't nerdy when it's man to man and we're both kind of in that world, but it was really satisfying to, A, you know, have him raise his hand. Those runs and those trainings were way more fun with the buddy this year than the lonely runs were at times last year. Hard Hat and Light Bright and Kickstand, those guys were part of it as well. It just felt like more of a group effort this go around, and I'll never forget it.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. Well, I love it. And I think even just the start of your journey, how you got into it, right? It's like just getting out there with some guys, it doesn't feel like it's not as much work, right? When you're running or doing a Murph or whatever it might be, when you've got some guys there, you know, maybe it's the conversation or whatever. But I've always had that sort of feeling of like if you've ever tried to do a Murph on your own, it's absolutely terrible. But when you do it with a group of guys, it almost goes by fast. You know, it's like this really strange sort of thing there.
That's because all we do is when you got buddies, you talk. It's a distraction.
Yep.
I did one Murph by myself playing and like signed a contract from Travis to Crowdsource that said, you will never do that again because it was just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, awful.
Yep.
What in the hell are we doing here? But
you come into the group, you know a few guys. Was Robin Hood posting regularly? I feel like I don't know if I've seen him in a while, but so you knew a few guys, right? You that were out there regularly. How did you go about getting to know some of the other guys that maybe you weren't already friends with or didn't know?
So Robin Hood had actually moved away from Omaha at the time that I started. So he was, I don't know his exact story, but I know that probably the 2 years prior to me coming out, so the 21-22 type period, he was quite regular, posting in the mornings when he was here in Millard. When I was in that circle and I didn't know that we had funny names, like I didn't even know where to start. I hitched my wagon to Peg Leg. I was just like, dude, just tell me where we're going tomorrow. Huh. And, you know, he was really cool about giving me the Google name or the Google Maps names for places. And then you find out, oh, Millard West is Fancy Feast. Oh, you know, Aspen Creek is the Dune. And then you kind of become ingratiated into the culture, the names, the whatever. But I would say really that first 6 to 9 months, like Peg Leg and I were a package deal because I'm a slow learner and just had no idea where the hell we were going. I just asked him to tell me what we were doing and we did a lot of that stuff together. So it was really cool.
Heck yeah. Something I remember, just conversations at coffee, maybe I feel like after maybe Mission Forge or whatever, and just, you're just inquisitive, right? It's like you cared, you asked great follow-up questions, really seemed like you're trying to get to know guys. Is that something that you've had to sort of work on, or is that kind of just, have you always been that way? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think I am curious. Like I'm always curious, and man, it's kind of that tough balance of we all want to be who we are, you know. But with that being said, I think it's really important that the more you know, about somebody, about their values, about how they like to speak, you know, are they a talker? Are they a listener? Are they a deep conversationalist? Are they a jokester? The more information that you can gather in those conversations, I think leads to much better conversations in conversation number 2, 3, 4, you know, so on and so forth. So, it's like drinking out of a fire hose in that first year with F3, because you get exposed to so many new people that, you know, unfortunately, I think not fortunately, you go through that process a lot, you know, again, at coffee. This might be the first time that you're sitting next to, you know, another F3 member that you've posted with a half dozen times, but maybe you haven't been partnered up together. Maybe you're on the opposite end of the circle, but there you find yourself face to face, shoulder to shoulder, and you get to ask questions. I like knowing everybody's got a great story, right? Yeah. I really, in my heart of hearts, will forever, where are you from? What do you do? What are your hobbies? What's your family? What's your occupation? It's never to measure anybody up, but I think all of those things just kind of form this. All right, I've got an idea now. And I guess those initial conversations maybe sometimes feel like a job interview, but yeah. I think it does allow you to take it to, you know, to deeper depths and to get more value from that connection.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. I think, you know, it's interesting too, because not every guy that's shown up to a workout, it feels comfortable doing that, right? So then if that's, you know, you're helping to initiate, get some of those guys out of their, you know, skin a little bit, get them to be more comfortable just sharing some of those details, which is super important, right? I think it's always been interesting to me, the number of guys that will come and work out, but they're maybe more introverted by nature. And so they, you know, like they're there, they'll answer questions if you talk to them, but they're sort of like waiting for somebody to be curious about them. And, you know, so I just appreciate that about you. You know, talk me through the other piece. And I heard you kind of mention, you know, well, a couple things. Coffee, were you a coffee guy right away, or it took you a while? What was that like?
Well, I'd always have to find a gas station before going to coffee.
So okay, that's right. You don't drink coffee. Yeah.
So that I could get that Mountain Dew.
What's that all about? You just have never liked coffee.
It just tastes so good, Plague. Like,
you just like the dye, yellow number five or whatever.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, it's just dynamite. It's like that, you know, you put B12 on your mustache. It's like B12 from my soul. It's just so good. Especially after a good workout, you know, like I'm kind of thirsty. You want that. You know, it is early, so it's crisp, it's cold, and it gives you that little, you know.
You need the caffeine, right?
That little kick that maybe coffee does. Now, so I've actually come around to coffee.
Have you? You drink coffee now?
Well, it's kind of coffee. Scooters has this thing called a Caramelicious that...
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the hell's in it, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I have one of those every now and again, but...
Yeah. So you would literally go to a workout and then on your way to coffee, stop at a gas station, pick up I guess after a certain point in time, you start bringing your own.
No, never bring your own. Never.
Okay. You go get it cold out of the cooler at the gas station.
Well, yeah. Like, you know, a lot of times a lot of the spots we went to, our coffee location was Hy-Vee. Hmm. Well, Hy-Vee had both coffee and a soda machine. Mm-hmm. The problem is, they didn't always have the key turned on to the soda machine, but if you ask them, they will do it for you. And so it was very convenient. So at the Hy-Vee coffee shops, I didn't have to make an extra stop, but you know, we talked about that Starbucks earlier. Yeah. Hy-Vee gas station right along the way. You pull in there, get your 32 ounce Fountain Dew, maybe a snack pack of Cheetos or whatever the hell you're hungry for, and meet the boys for coffee. It works out fine.
I love it. I love it. What? So talk me through, how long did it take you to get to where you had a shield lock and were kind of at that place in terms of relationships and kind of willing to go a little bit deeper with a smaller group of guys?
Yeah, we, you know, I certainly have something, you know, tight and connected with Peg Leg. Mm-hmm. Not sure that we ever labeled it, you know, shield lock or whatever. But that was certainly the starting point. And then, gosh, I guess I don't know the exact time, but Hard Hat, Light Bright, Griswold, Kickstand, those guys had established their own. And I guess I'll never forget it. I was getting ready for work after a workout, and there was this new group thread and they're like, crowd, we voted. We want to know, do you, would you like to join our shield lock? And I was really taken back because, you know, each of those guys brought something different, you know, to my world, you know, independently. I was always just respectful of their shield lock. Never was I asking to be on a waiting list or anything like that. Like the best things happen organically. But man, I mean, independently, I can honestly say that, you know, I'd take a bullet for any of them. Hell, I didn't even know that they were like the fearsome foursome or, you know, and so when I found out that collectively they're a shield lock and they said, hey, do you want to be a part of it? It has been a game changer. Oh. And maybe a funny story since you keep asking me about Mountain Dew and Cheetos. So these guys are going to crush me, but they had a cute name for themselves before I joined. And so they're like, well now, and it was something with four, like quad pod or shit. I don't know, but yeah.
All their Gloom episodes, they made me make sure it was, you know, like 84, 104. I can't remember what Light Brights was, but they all end in four. So that was my next question for you. Does this have to be a number four? But sorry, keep going.
Well, no, it just can't be 34 because I know for a fact that's a hard hats because
yeah,
that comes up at least once every 48 hours.
Yeah.
He reminds us that it's supposed to be hard. So
it's supposed to be hard. Yep.
Episode 34. I guess we'll talk about episode number. I don't give a damn, but yeah, I guess it's got to be a four. I just remember these guys were, I went from feeling really excited that I joined them to immediately becoming a hindrance because with five of us, whatever their name was with a four, no longer related. And hell, I can't remember who threw it out, but I said, let's just be the city rats. Cause crowd eats like a freaking Manhattan city rat, you know, pizza crumbs, Mountain Dew, Flamin' Cheetos, gummy bears. And so we went from whatever they were to now the city rats.
The city rats. I love it. We were thinking about a name change at one point. I remember Grizz and I throwing that out, man. I think I said river rat and then he said, no, it's a city rat that he's
we definitely act like river rats, but eat like city rats. So unless I change my diet, I think the city rat thing might have some staying power.
Heck yeah. What, you know, the other kind of thing in the fellowship realm that we like to, get your thoughts on is other thing in this fellowship realm is like the concentrica. So like your relationship with your M, relationship with your kids. Do you feel like F3's had any impact on those relationships at all?
Oh, it certainly has. It certainly has. You know, one, there was this void. There was this void of confidence. You know, I think a lot of times, like, you know, depression, anxiety, some of these words and phrases get thrown around, but, I can certainly identify that I was missing something that was giving me sadness. And, you know, I don't have that magic switch to just flip it when Michelle comes through the door after school or, you know, the kids come home off the bus or whatever that looks like. So, I think the impact has just been a happier me naturally touches and impacts them. I hope they would say the same. My kids love their F3. I got, Seuss and Dinger, Dr. Seuss and Dinger. They love their posts and the circles and watching the Namorama videos and, hey, who'd you work out with today? And it's great. Like, so yeah, it's definitely kind of become a thread in our framework and a real important one. So,
yeah, you know, as I hear you talking to one of the questions I would have for you, because not too many guys have formalized a shield lock, but the guys, and I think I've said this to, you know, pretty much everybody in your shield lock, but I notice a little bit of a difference, almost like an elevated than sense of confidence for guys that get in a really close shield lock. What do you think that being in that group has added, sort of above and beyond the kind of typical F3 experience?
So before being asked to be in the shield lock, obviously I never messaged who was on my shield lock in a group format, but I distinctly remember sending, you know, maybe I queued and all four of them were there, or maybe I posted and two of them were there. And it's just like, I remember sending them individual messages of a beat down is better when you're there. You know, there's something, you know, if it's hard hat there, just setting the tone, being, you know, the dude that he is, or, you know, Griswold, and he's just so magnetic and kickstand, all sorts of funny. And then you got this mountain of a man in Light Bright. Like, there's, I just always, you know, I remember being kind of self-aware in the sense of making sure that they knew that whether they asked for it, liked it or not, they had impact just by being present. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the things that, you know, we've discussed and I try to remind of is, you know, again, whether we ask for it or not, and this isn't we want to share that, right? Like, and if we agree that, hey, let's all go to so-and-so AO, let's divide and conquer. You know, it does us no good stay potted up and share none of that with, you know, the other members that are there. But I guess I don't know if that's really answering the question. But I will say that we want to be mindful of, you know, bringing everybody and anybody along that wants a piece of that, right? So I think there's confidence in that and kind of having a team approach before just showing up. It's not like, oh man, I can't believe that, you know, we're at Mission Forge today and kickstands here and hard hats here. Like, there was probably a discussion on Sunday, probably a little bit of shit talk about it, you know, to go with it, maybe a little bit of, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. conversations, but it does. It makes you feel good when the group's together.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had recently some interesting conversation with my sort of whetstone about, you know, I'm in a spot getting ready to hand off some of my F3 Omaha leadership stuff. And one of the comments that he made to me was, you know, the best way to get through that and stay engaged is to get serious about a shield lock, you know? And so I think, yeah, just watching some of the other guys that are in some of these shield locks that I just see that structure really, you know, you can tell in my mind, like, you can tell when the guy's got a confidence of, you know, 3-4 guys that he's really close to that have his back, that know him and love him despite of all his faults and failures. You know, I think there's just something really special about that. So really cool. And appreciate you sharing that. And we'll make sure that you get an appropriate episode number. You'll probably be 204, because that's about where we're at in the episodes. If that tells you anything, hard hat is 34. But
well, I'll give you a ton of free reign there. But if these guys said it's got to end in a 4, like I said, I already messed with their name. Yeah. Oddly enough, I think it's funny that it's got to end in a 4, but maybe
I'll make it end in a 5. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go like 205, Plague. I'm a disruptor, baby.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
You know, the other thing, so talking Fitness Fellowship Faith, right? We'd love to just hear kind of what's been your journey from a third F or faith perspective, if you got any experience there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a Catholic household. Really, strong, like my grandparents on both sides, like real strong Catholics. So growing up, we did the Catholic stuff, right? Went to Mass on Saturday night or Sunday morning, walked to CCD on Wednesdays. Just kind of get on the hamster wheel and, you know, do what they tell you to do kind of thing. And so always, you know, practiced. I'll tell you, like, maybe one of the silent things that I haven't probably given enough credence to F3 through has been allowing myself permission to think outside the box with that third F journey. Again, to any Catholics listening, just hang in there for me. I'm not a hater, right? It's just, it's very structured, right? And you go to Mass on Sunday. And if you go to Mass the next Sunday, 85% of what you do and what you see and what you hear is the same thing that you heard the previous Sunday. And it'll be the same thing that you hear the following Sunday. So, I think it would have been pre F3 in my heart of hearts. I feel it would have been blasphemy for me to think it would be acceptable or permissible to maybe explore what else is out there. And kind of fast track a little bit. I think sometimes God puts certain people in your life, whether you realize it or not, but my oldest son has been on a baseball team. And 2 years ago, one of the dads for one of his teammates is a pastor at Brookside Church, Jeff Dart. And
it's, I don't need F3 Nitro, right?
What's that?
He's F3 Nitro, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll have to ask him. He's a triathlete, and I tried getting him to come out to Aspen a couple times, but I guess kind of the long story short of it is, I had enough confidence in Jeff and learning about what he does and what their organization's all about. And he invited us to a service. I was like, you'll never know what you don't know. And it was dynamite. It was really, really good. So been to service at Brookside. It was Firewalker was there. I saw Canadian Bacon. He's a security guard. He gets to carry a gun to church. That scared the hell out of me.
Oh, wow. But I didn't realize that. That would be scary. With a firearm.
Well, I was like talking to him, and, you know, usually Canadian Bacon, really engaging. He like kept looking over my shoulder, and I was like, dude, you pissed about something? He's like,
he's on duty.
He like tapped his, I'm like, so yeah, he was packing. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. Sister Atkins sang. It was one hell of an organization. And we went to Easter Mass there this last year, and it was just one straight hour of awesome. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. Left with a pep in the step. And so a little bit of a new journey. Like I said, I've been reluctance, the wrong word. I just hadn't yet given myself permission to ask, you know, if we could consider that. My wife comes from also a Catholic family, very strong Catholic family, you know, and so I don't know. It's just always kind of been this,
yeah,
this staple. And I was curious again, and I'm glad we explored it, because I think it was a good experience for everyone in our household. It was really good.
That's really cool. I'm thinking of Brad Zook, who's Nitro out at the Elkhorn campus. Brookside's got an Elkhorn campus on like 204th and Maple, but he's like
not Nitro. I need to meet him.
Yeah, he's like one of their associate pastors. But and that's really cool. That's also quite a bit different than what I feel like I hear, right? A lot of times I hear guys say, grew up Catholic, went to all the Catholic schools and the CCD, and then we stopped. Do you think, I guess, as I'm hearing you say this, I wonder if that, like, and I'll use the word reluctance, but again, maybe that's not the right word, but is that the, like, maybe the mindset is like, if it's not this, then it can't be anything else. So then I'm going to just not do anything. Is that, do you think that's where a lot of guys end up?
Well, I mean, I'm reluctant to speak to anybody else's like feelings or opinion as to how or why, you know, maybe attendance stops or becomes less frequent. I don't know that any service is ever going to be like the most exciting, entertaining hour of your week ever, right? But I don't know, as I've gotten older, I've kind of become selfish with my time. And
yeah, totally.
I was just kind of getting frustrated of, I absolutely can devote 1 hour a week to go in, lock in, reset, go to church, right? It wasn't, I'm like, man, couldn't that hour be better? You know, I just really felt like I challenged how impactful that hour could be. And I felt as though I had hit the ceiling with the hour I was getting, you know, doing it the old way.
Yeah.
And that's probably been the biggest eye opener. I mean, from the moment we walked into that facility to the moment we left, it was just loaded with impact. And that felt really, really good.
That's awesome. Well, kudos to you for you know, hearing whatever that voice, inner voice, whatever that was, that sort of prompted you to say, you know, let's try something different. You know, I think that's one of my favorite things about F3, right, is we hopefully can come alongside guys that are searching in that third F space. And like, there's no judgment, right? But there's just a ton of guys that are maybe doing something in that space that you could ask them about. And so I love that you have been able to work through that and bring your family along. That's really cool to see you leading in that way. So hopefully, yeah, I'll be thinking about you on that, because that's a really cool space to be, I think, being able to search and work through that with your M and your 2.0s.
I'm going to give you one more nugget on that plague. I want everybody in F3 Omaha to know that Firewalker, hands down, has the best handwriting in all of F3. He was out of service, and he keeps this journal, and I just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his handwriting, it's like calligraphy. It is one of one.
Yeah.
He came up and he's like, hey, I'm like, you've got good handwriting, Firewalker. Yeah. Like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, I was creeping on your journal, dude.
Yeah.
That boy can write.
I, you know, those guys and Brookside for a long time has done a lot of cool stuff in the ministry space. We don't go there, but before I got into F3, I got to be in a men's Bible study with Firewalker, Tonight Show, Sister Act, Grills. And this was before like our first kid was born. And so those guys and that ministry that church is doing is just, I think they are doing something right. Cause I think they've found a way to really get people engaged in, what it means to believe and follow Jesus. So I think that's really, I think you're in a good spot. And that's how I know Firewalker has really good handwriting, because we would journal as part of that. And I same thing, would creep on the journal, and I'm sort of like, okay, you know, most guys don't, we don't have good handwriting, but, you know, something I would love to hear your thoughts on is the leadership piece. Right. And so, you got to be a site queue at Fancy Feast, which is an amazing site, launched by our man Lightbright. And so I'm curious, what was that like for you getting to lead there? What, I don't know, what do you remember? And then would love to hear, if you have any advice for guys that are leading a site or maybe getting ready to take over a site, what's that look like from your perspective?
Oh, it was one. I mean, you certainly don't know what you don't know, but you know, Lightbright launched Fancy Feast. What had that been? Late November, early December 22. I started March of 23. So all I knew was that Fancy Feast was an AO, right? And then it took 3-4 months. You figure out, well, holy cow, just a couple days ago, this wasn't an AO. And so I found it remarkable. A, the attendance, to the attitude. I always looked forward to Friday. It was kind of hard to put a finger on it. I was like, this one just feel different because it's Friday and it's the end of the week, and I don't know. I just, the closer I looked at it, the more I realized that it could be a Monday site and it still would have had that same vibe and attitude that the Lightbright created for it. Mm-hmm. Very inclusive. I just always felt I never not feel welcome at F3. Not at once, but I felt more welcome in that first, you know, half dozen posts at Fancy Feast, where I felt like that was home base. And Lightbright and I, you know, outside of the gloom, we connected fairly quickly. For sure, within that first 3 to 4 months, like, I would say Lightbright 100% became my first outside the gloom friend, that I would not have known, without that intersection of F3. And so, and obviously it was about way more than him, you know, being the site queue of Fancy Feast. Of course, I respected the hell out of that. I was very curious again. Mm-hmm. What was it like to start it? What's your mission for here? And so when he asked that I be his successor, I was moved. Probably didn't feel I was ready. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, bro, this is coming up in November. I don't even have 8 months under my belt, and I still don't even know what the hell is going on around here. Like, I just learned why Fine Print's license plate says SYITG. I'm like, I just finally learned that acronym, and you want me to lead this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And so number one, I would say, in terms of if I were to give advice, it's learn about those that came before you, you know, with the site. What was it founded on? What are the things? And again, mine was a little bit easier because it in my brain, it was Lightbright site. So I liked him sharing with me, you know, consciously what was important to him. And from that, kind of created these will be our non-negotiables with the site moving forward, in terms of want everybody to feel welcome. We want to be inclusive. We want it to be fun. You know, not going to be afraid to mix it up and apologize to anybody for having a football game or playing soccer or whatever, you know, just going to let guys lead. And so I thought that was important. Of course, you, to some extent, want to put a spin on things. I wanted to be present. You know, the 52 or 54 weeks, whatever it was, that I had the honor of planting the flag every Friday. I always wanted to be present, be there for the guys that wanted to go for a pre-run, be there for the guys that wanted to go for a 45-minute ruck before, just really lend yourself to what the guys want from that site that day, and, you know, get there early, turn on the lights and let it rip. Right. So, but yeah, I loved it. I loved setting up the queue schedule. I liked engaging guys that were maybe outside the box and asking to queue, bringing guys from the north, bringing the guys from Sarpy, bringing just somebody that you worked out with. You're like, holy cow, this guy's just a ton of fun. I have no clue what his beatdown's going to be. I don't care. I want this guy leading us for 45 minutes. And I don't know. I felt very purposeful in kind of mixing that up and wanting to bring new ideas and new people, out to the feast on Fridays.
Was the Fancy Feaster, I can't remember, did Lightbright start that or did you start that?
Actually, Hard Hat.
Hard Hat. Okay. Was that during Lightbright's, sort of at first year, right?
Yeah. So Lightbright, he missed 1 week as site queue, one Friday. He had to be in Nebraska City for an overnight. They were hosting clients and absolutely no way that he could fulfill his work obligation and be there Friday morning. And it was really, really bothering him. And so to twist the knife a little deeper, Hard Hat decided while Lightbright's gone, we're going to create a new traveling trophy so that when he comes back, he really feels like he missed out on a whole lot of stuff on that one Friday. And so Hard Hat got this idea. He brought a can of cat food. I think the first recipient I know was Clark Kent.
Yep.
And from there, it just grew to a tower of tin with duct tape and saran wrap. And it was so awesome, gross.
Though. Compared to the Stanley Cup, I heard, at least from social media, right? It was out there, in terms of weight and size, right?
Oh, Lightbright. Like something had to be done, man. That thing that we had, I was lucky to receive it. I don't know. It had to be 40 cans deep. And I brought it home. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this thing apart, restructure it. Some of the noises and squishiness of those cans, I was just like, this is not going to end well.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Thank goodness Lightbright took it upon himself to do a CAD drawing and the 3D print, and then it turned to wood, and he put that whole damn thing together, and
beautiful now. Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Well, man, this has been awesome. And I really appreciate you as a man, as a leader, you know, getting to hear your story and just, you know, it's so interesting to me, right? That like like you mentioned, right? Until we ask, you know, questions and get to know guys, we don't really know what's underneath, you know? And so I just really love what, you know, several of the things you've shared about just your life, your journey, what you're going through, you know, where we like to kind of land with guys is like today, you know, current state, if we see you out there, if we're sending you a text, what should we be, you know, thinking about or praying for or encouraging you with?
Oh, I'm really lucky. I don't think I'm different from many, but I'm always searching for that perfect balance. I mean, that perfect balance of, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I want to be a 10 as a dad. I want to be a 10 as a husband. I want to be a 10 with F3. I want to be a 10 professionally. I'm going to be a 10 on the golf course. And man, no matter how hard you know, every time you have a 10, something falls to a 9, then something from a 9 maybe impacts something to drop to a 4. And I'm just feel like every time you press on one of the buttons, another one, you know, suffers because of it, right? Because we're not limitless. And despite any analogy or any, you know, concept that I've tried painting for myself, I'm always struggling to get all these key pillars to be really, really high, to be those tens. And I'm going to continue searching for it. I know it can be done, but it's not easy, right? So that's what I'm after.
Heck yeah.
I'm not sure I'll get there, but we'll keep trying.
I appreciate it, man. That's really good. I'll be thinking about you on that. I'm right there with you. You know, whether it's spinning plates or, you know, I just had, I was talking to a guy the other day that just mentioned that the mission, the interruptions are the mission.
I like that.
I've been thinking about that because so often I view certain things or people in my life as an interruption. And really they're the mission, right? Like if I'm trying to be productive, get stuff done, and one of my kids comes in and I'm like, they're pulling me from something I think I need to do, but really they're the mission. So I'm right there with you though, trying to just figure out how do we do all those things. So I appreciate it. We'll do a little name-a-rama here, wrap us up. I'll start us off. Brandon Flea Hardy, 39, The Plague.
The Plague. Trying to solve it. It's 42. Crowdsource.
And do we have a call sign? What's the
I got nothing.
Got nothing. No. Okay. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe we'll just say got nothing. No, okay.
I got nothing.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for your time today. This has been awesome.
Thanks, Mike.